Your time is now. Let's make this moment last.
Welcome to the 24-25 season of the Keeping Up Appearances podcast. Before you listen to this episode, please head over to our social medias and hit that follow button. You can find us on X at Keeping Up Apps and on TikTok and Instagram at Keeping Up Apps Pod. Please also hit that subscribe button on YouTube where we are at Keeping Up Appearances. I've always wanted to say that.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Keeping Up Appearances. We are delighted to be back. Unfortunately, we are a member down to start with, but we should have a full selection back maybe halfway through. Callum has decided that rather than being on the podcast for the full podcast anyway, he's going to go for a run. So if there are any Callum fans amongst you, I'd be very surprised if there are. But if there are, just think about that in terms of loyalty to this podcast. He'd rather be on a run.
Is it worth mentioning he's doing it for Zoe's place before he sorts
absolutely,
him?
Absolutely not. He's doing it for himself.
He's doing it for life's sake. Yeah.
I think
Virgin Six or whatever is.
I think a run in
social media name.
I think a run in general is a disgrace. So a run at the same time as the podcast is just, it's just terrible.
To be honest, Sean, I was thinking I wasn't going to ask you at first. I thought you might be on a 15K run. To be honest, but
I did that this morning before you saw woke up.
We do have a fourth member to start, and it's long-time listener, long-time friend of the show, Sean Cunningham. So thanks, Sean, for joining us today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So very much say his name and he shall appear. We mentioned Sean last week and he's already on the podcast. So like, basically what that's telling you is if you compliment us to anyone else, you'll get on. So
it was also a bit of a stretch as well. I mean, I got the text yesterday, was it, Tosh?
Yeah,
but I asked earlier on. I didn't ask yesterday.
Saturday. It wasn't that much early on.
I felt like someone popular had dropped out. So they go like, "Fuck, who can we get?"
Yeah, no, Cal's not popular.
Right, let's get started then. So you've come on a good week as well, Sean, because it's the long-awaited return of Linky, which is everyone's favourite part of this podcast. So Tosh, can you take it away?
I can indeed. Yeah, as I say, I thought long and hard. Sean's been doing this. I'm going to have to differentiate between the two Seans when I'm allocating points here. So our usual Sean's been doing too well. So I'm going to try and confuse him this week. We'll try and go with a few difficult ones. So quick reminder of the rules. There will be four questions. All of the answers to the questions will have some sort of link. So you're trying to get the link. Right then, yeah. So if any of our guests get it after one question, it will be 4 points. After two questions, 3 points. Three questions, 2 points, and after the last question, 1 point, and we'll see who's the winner at the end. Our own Sean, as I mentioned, unbeaten so far, and Bob pretty dreadful at it, so let's see if we can turn it round. Let's go. First question, then. I've tried to make the first questions, I think, quite difficult, so no one's getting after one. So, first question. 1976 song by Andrea True Connection, covered by Rachel Stevens, where the same word is repeated three times. I just add as well, these clues I do come up with myself, I don't research, so I'm thinking if I can get them, anyone can get them.
Can I just add that I've kissed Rachel Stevens? Adds absolutely nothing to the game, but I have kissed her. I was nine, but I did kiss her. Okay, move on.
Rachel Stevens is a nunt.
Where did you kiss her, Sean?
Come on, Sean.
On the body.
Yeah. not like Birmingham.
It was actually in Fatty Arbuckles in London, and it was on air. It was on edgy.
It's good claims to fame, that to be fair.
Right, then back to the quiz, though. Let's not.
I was going to say someone that me and Bob have kissed, but we won't go. We'll
leave Tosh.
Yeah.
I wish.
Second question. The second wife of Henry VIII.
I know what happened to her, but I don't know what her name was.
I'll give you a little clue with that. Just think of how many wives of Henry VIII you actually know.
I'm going in, Tosh.
Oh.
You're too good at this.
This is his best chance of getting one after two, I think, Dom. Sean O'Hara is him. Third question. The name of Michael Jackson's monkey.
Okay. I'm going in.
Sean's already got it. Is there any point in going in now?
We get points, don't we?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Points. Sean Cunningham is also in. Bob, you give up like usually after like the second question. Can we not give up midway through the first one, please? Have you guessed as well, Bob?
No, because I usually go too vague, so I'm just making sure I get something specific.
Okay, yeah. Then last question for this clue. The 26th element of the periodic table with the symbol Fe.
Do you not know this, Bob?
Yeah, he does.
He does. I don't think you took the gamble that I took on the third clue. Yeah.
Right then, so very quickly.
Sean, wait until we get to keeping up appearances.
I reckon Sean, if I'm guessing, would be the only one who would have got this. Is our Sean who would have got the first question. Sean, what was you thinking?
It was the classic more, more, more.
More, more, more. Second answer, Anne Boleyn. Third answer, Bubbles. And the fourth answer was Iron. All linked by the fact they have something to do with West Ham. We had all correct answers, which means Sean O'Hara 3, Sean Cunningham 2, and Bob 1. So you know all on the leaderboard.
I'm not sure I would have linked more than Boleyn. That's impressive.
I'm a pro at this game now. Done this before, Sean. Do you know what? That's the first ever time, no Tosh, that we've all had correct answers. And that's because Bob tried. So
I
give Bob a bit of credit.
Well, you're right, actually, it is the first time everyone's got a correct answer. Okay. I don't think you've ever not got a correct answer, though, Sean, to be fair. So
yeah, I don't, to be fair.
Make them harder, then.
Okay. Your wish is my command. Second question, then.
Doesn't matter.
The office building broken into in 1972 that led to a president resigning. Second question. The name of the NFL team based in San Francisco who Joe Montana played for. So, like, the second part of the name, a bit after San Francisco, sorry. I don't know the NFL, so I don't know if that was clear. No one going in? Oh, this could be good. No. The female member of the Black Eyed Peas.
What's the link?
I think this might be the hardest one.
I think I've got an answer, but I don't know. I don't know how the first one applies to it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure it does. So if that helps,
Do you know what? I'll go in.
Oh, wow. Bob is in. By the way, Bob submitted three things. One of them is just a swear word. Are you submitting, Sean?
Yeah, I'm in.
And the last question. Type of food with variety, pepperoni, meat feast, and Hawaiian.
Ah, no.
I'm wrong.
So am I, think.
Other than me swear word, actually, I reckon that's the closest.
I don't know if mine applies as well.
I know the last three answers, possibly the first one. But
the first one, I was struggling for a fourth clue.
That's a very tenuous link. That's all.
I don't know.
I'll give you the clue, Sean. I think you need to put the fourth and the first together.
That's
Tosh's thinking there.
Ooh.
But what's with the fourth optimistic and now. I'm going to take a guess because I might as well. But how's the.
Don't question the process.
I don't know how 49ers is.
Oh, no, see, that does link. I think that
was the one I went for, but I don't know if mine... I don't know if I've gone the wrong side.
All the answers were in. We had the office building broken into was Watergate. The name of the NFL team based in San Francisco was the 49ers. We then had Fergie for the female member, and we had pizza for the last one. Now, we had there Sean O'Hara guessing the end of Arsenal's unbeaten run. And we also had Sean Cunningham saying Pizzagate. And I think I'm going to accept both of them.
Yes.
As correct answers. Brilliant. And I'll just clarify me thinking for that one. The first one was just the gate part, which I was sort of out because I was struggling for something else. Arsenal were 49 games unbeaten, Sean, at that point. That was the end of their record.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Sean, did you get O'Hara? Did you get 2 points?
Yeah, I came in after Fergie, yeah.
Bob said Sir Alex Ferguson. So not absolutely nothing for you, Bob, I'm afraid.
He does like pizza.
Yeah.
I was trying to come up with something like Fabregas who threw it, but I just couldn't get it.
If you'd have got a clue that it said Fabregas without saying Fabregas, that would have been impressive.
Have you ever heard, just as a clarity, Wikipedia, it was also called, people calling on Wikipedia the Battle of the Buffet. Have you ever heard that before?
No.
No, me neither.
I reckon you've Googled that before, though.
That was me and Sasha, Dan's wedding last weekend.
Right then, last question. The name of the travel agent that rebranded to TUI in 2017 and sponsored Tottenham during the early 2000s. Think of them Tottenham kits in the early 2000s. What was on the front? Now, second question. A product Kodak would make, as well as an 80s band named Aztec something. That's a tenuous one as well. Just keep that one out of your mind if you're struggling. So a product Kodak would make, which could also be put at the end of the word Aztec to make a band. Third question. Another name for Father Christmas, Saint. No one going? Obviously not a good question. And the last one then. Multi-billionaire Amazon owner. I stumped everyone with this.
I see, I can't think of the Spurs, the 2B one, which is, I think, is snooker to me.
Yeah, because the second one sort is more, it sounds a bit like the answer rather than actually is the answer, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So let's try to make them out of them. Maybe I've gone too far.
Oh.
Can I give Bob 5 points if he's the only one who gets this?
Absolutely not.
Unlucky, just to make it aware, Bob has got it.
I'm going to just completely gamble because I might as well.
I think I get 10 points here because I'm shit at this game.
I might, though, if I've defeated Sean, it'd be the first time Sean's not got one.
Honestly, I don't think I'm going to get it here. I reckon if I had a bit longer, but yeah, it's gone here. I know I've got them all right as well, so.
Ignore the second one. If the second one's causing you, can you link the other three? And then you've just got the last 30 seconds, I'd say.
But if Sean gets it now, I've got more points on him.
Yeah.
No. Tosh, for the third one, is it full name or is it shortened?
Full.
Okay. That does not help.
Good job, you asked, Sean. Yeah.
Can't believe it. I'm going to have to hand over to Bob to tell us the answer to this in a minute. He's going to be absolutely made up. Right, come on, Sean, you've had your time.
Yeah, go on, I'm out.
I thought I was revealing because I got it.
Go on, Bob, link all the names, then the answers, then.
Well, you could add another clue for somebody who'd say, who would make you think.
That's a big clue. So he had the name of travel agents was Thompson or Thompson's.
Oh.
Kodak would make or Aztec Camera. Another name for Father Christmas would be Saint Nicholas. And we had Jeff Bezos. So what would link Thompson, Camera, Nicholas, and Jeff?
Soccer
Saturday pundits.
Sorry, Bob, just robbed you there. Thinking of them just fuming.
No, well, I just wanted to mention Latisse, making you think. That was the only thing I wanted to say.
Sean, Alara, what do you reckon on that one?
Yeah, that was really good, Tosh.
Joe, what do you think? I was at
that. I'll admit defeat there. My head had gone, totally.
So we had only Bob was to get that right. Sean, you said ex-Liverpool players. So not quite, but you had it at the end. So Bob wins this week, I'm afraid.
I was distracted then. He absolutely doesn't win it this week.
No, final scores.
I heard he does.
Sean Cunningham getting 3, Bob getting 2, and Sean O'Hara getting 5. So Sean's still reigning supreme, but not quite in as an emphatic style as usual. Okay, then, moving on to M5 for this week. As always, we will recap last week. So last week, in aid to Sean going to the wrestling, we did best football and nicknames. And the winner was the Divine Ponytail Roberto Baggio, which was my pick. Rubbish. Which means this week I get the privilege of voting someone off. and I've had lots of things people to get revenge for because I haven't won one for a while. So I will bear in that mind. Roberto will be off to join the island with the likes of Kumas, Platini, Van Basten, Pogba, the rest of the lads all on the island. This week, we have maybe the most tenuous link of all time for RM5. So we're going to go for best footballing journeyman. The reason being, I feel embarrassed saying this, to be honest, is that in aid of trick or treating season, is that the people who've knocked on the most doors, etc. So make of that what you will. So we're going to go football. Go on, Sean.
No, honestly, Tosh, you could have made that sound good.
He's not that much of a genius.
Not sure he could.
He could have. Come
I on. Said we should have gone for football's ugliest men, but
no, I can't do that. I'm a mental health advocate. Bob, I can't do that. And also do it rich if we do that, innit?
Yeah.
I'd have nominated someone on this panel. Right then. Who to go first this week? I've done a lot of talking, so it's not me, and we'll leave our guest towards the end because he's got a bit of a special surprise. Go on, Bob.
I'm sticking with what I said I was doing before, but can we do honourable mention for managers?
You can do whatever you like.
I'll get in.
Although, Bob, we might do the managers that have knocked on the most doors next year.
Oh, right. Okay. I won't mention it.
And the good thing is we can do it like Christmas season, like Christmas carols as well. So this one's just a gift that keeps giving, really.
So I'll go for a player many people had high hopes for.
Are you going to read the selection of his teams, Bob?
Yes. I was just giving him an intro. Yeah, thanks a lot, Tosh. Everyone had, well, quite a lot of people had high hopes for him, including his first manager, the likes of Rio Ferdinand, who was an early teammate of his. Started at Man United, and I've probably already given it away, but since the highs of his early career, he's ended up playing for a team called Precision in the UAE. He's also played in Mexico, Italy, the United States and Sweden and the Netherlands and other exotic places such as Derby and Middlesbrough. I'm talking of somebody who was supposedly the brightest young talent Man United have had since. I've completely made that up. So I don't know who since. I'm going for Ravel Morrison, who is 31 years of age and has had 14 clubs, if my maths serves me correctly. So he's probably somebody who we could have nominated for M5 previously and the likes of Mavericks and that kind of thing. But I'm going to go for him for having such a varied, wild, nomadic career. Taken across most corners of the globe. So Ravel Morrison is my nomination this week.
Is he still playing?
Yeah, he's playing for a team called located in Dubai, playing in the second division of the UAE football pyramid.
Wasn't he also in that FA game the other week? You know, where they have like all the agents.
The FA game?
Yeah.
It was him, like Dwight. I think once he had him and Dwight Gayle up front or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, went all over Twitter. Hello, Sean,
I think he had a bit of a break in between, didn't he? I think it was a good year till he got that. But it's just a bit sad, isn't it? Like, I know journeyman, there's always a reason for them having this many clubs, but for someone of that talent, it's a good pick for obvious reasons. He played for a lot of clubs, but it's a sad pick. It's like everyone you know speaks of him in such a high regard. I feel like we've missed out on him as a player, really, haven't we?
Pogba was, I think Pogba in an interview the other day was saying of that year age group, he's the best in the world he's ever seen. I think Neymar was like playing for Santos at that time and doing those like ridiculous things. And Pogba said even like at that age, Ravel Morrison was doing that for like United for their youth team and that, and he was like better than him. So it is sad that he's just wasted. He's a journeyman, isn't he? Because he's got that name though. And every team has just thought, let's take a punt on him and he might do something for us, which I assume that's why he sort of collected these clubs, but just hasn't worked out for him. It's bad, isn't it, really?
I think he had that sort of, didn't he? We went to West Ham and I thought, you know, he was that under Big Sam where you thought he might have a little bit of a revival. He scored another goal away at Tottenham.
That goal, yeah.
And you thought, if anyone can bring it out in this Big Sam. But,
yeah, there was the argument over who was better than him at the time, him or Barkley, and obviously I sided with Barkley. So that was my first recollection of Morrison,
You have a lot of... he's been mentioned... I don't know if he's listening to Under the Cosh, but he gets a lot of mentions on that, and especially the... I think it was James Collins was talking about his time at West Ham, and sounded like Sam Allardyce just literally let him do whatever he wanted to do in a similar way that to wrap that with Warnock.
Oh yeah.
It sounded like there come a time where he just couldn't put up with. I think apparently he just never turned up to training, and it's just a waste. And I don't actually remember all that much of him. I mean,
no, me neither.
What I know of him is what other people say about him. I think West Ham and maybe the odd spurt at Derby with Rooney is the only thing I've really actually seen of him play.
Yeah, I think it's one of them, isn't it? It's just, I think that's it's a proof that it's all well and good having that ability, but so much, like, you think to get to that top level, there's so much more of, like, mental stuff and being it, like, the discipline to do that. It's all well and good having what he's got. I imagine that, like, what he must feel when people are saying how good he was there, and you think, like, he's, not going to say Pogba, who hasn't played for a year, but, you know, like, all the money Pogba would have earned and playing for France and won a World Cup and all that sort of stuff, and he's playing for someone who Bob said the name four times. I still can't actually remember what they're called.
Precision,
because I've got none. But, I think, yeah, it is that sad element to that, but... The last time I seen he was on some sort of podcast. And I think it was a United podcast. I think it might have been with that Adam and McCullough. Is that right, Callum?
Yeah.
And he just seemed to be trying to wind them up. Like every time he'd say about, you know, like, oh, you know, that time United nearly won. And he just kept saying, I was an Arsenal fan. I wanted Arsenal to win the league. Yeah. That's all he kept seeming to keep saying was, yeah, I didn't care about United. All I wanted was Arsenal to do well. So
do you not think though as well, like when you think, as you said, Sean, like I don't remember him. Because a lot of what you hear about is from like the youth teams. And obviously no one's watching United youth team, but do you not think, like, probably as a kid he was allowed to do what he wants, and then as soon as he gets into the kind of pro ranks, there's just way too much expected of him. He's had his whole time in the academies where he's just given free rein. He probably didn't have to come to training because he was that good, and then all of a sudden it's almost like you flip the script and go, the job you've been doing, you've got to do it differently. So it's like,
I think it's definitely that. Without trying to sound too much like me granddad, it's footy now. Like, they're just mollycoddled, aren't they? And they're told that they're the best player in the world, and they believe it. They get all this money at the young age. I am Sam, let me go on that sort of stuff. But it's that is literally the reason, isn't it? They believe the hype, and then they think they don't have to do any more to take it to the next level. When you listen to podcasts with like Gary Neville and all, it's obvious that that's what makes a player, isn't it? It's the effort. It's not really the ability.
But then at the same time, people blame the player. Well, I don't think it's the player's fault, is it? Like, as you say,
it is a bit if he's being given so many opportunities at decent clubs.
I don't think you can imagine how much, like, is like formative years, if you say, of being told how good he is. That's not his fault that he then believes.
Yeah. No, you're probably right. But Neville is probably the weird one compared to we'd all probably be more like Ravel Morrison.
Massively.
So, yeah, you're probably right. Yeah.
But now Neville, all of a sudden, Neville's like rebirth as like the model professional means everyone else looks bad in comparison.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a good way of summing it up. Yeah,
to be fair, him and Phil do sound like gimps when they're talking about all the things when they were younger. Like,
unbearable.
I don't know. It's to us that there's a wider argument, isn't it, about like all that pressure on football. And he hasn't really had it, but I remember there was that debate when that Yamal was like playing for Spain at 16. It's like, you know, should he be playing for Spain at like international and representing Spain and representing Barca at 16? Like, you're just a kid, isn't it? It's like, and you think with Morrison and Man United with Ferguson saying all this stuff, that's like unbelievable amounts of pressure. Bob, were you going to wrap it up there? Sorry.
I was just going to say we should have done Football's Biggest Freaks for Halloween.
That's much better than the ugliest footballers for mental health, isn't it?
Yeah, Phil Neville.
Would you, it's like on The Office, would you rather be called a freak or ugly?
Some people would be both.
My nomination is Steve Cooper, though, so just we do. Put that one in there. You might have heard, anyway, Callum deciding to join us now, so thanks for that, Callum. You can come straight in with yours.
Cool.
You've done nothing so far.
I'm going to go with a player who I think, well, we all loved, at least loved him for a few years. Some still love him. Me and Sean have been hot on his tail over the last couple of years. I'll explain that story towards the end. But I'm going to go with a player who, from memory, I think he always seems to have like a good start with the clubs. then he tailed off, and that's why he left. He'd go to someone else, then start well for them, and then kind of tail off and go somewhere else. He has started his career in 1997 and looked as though he'd ended it in 2017, although in 2024 it looks like he actually signed for Enfield Town. So that's a big move. But he started at a team called Julius Berger, which is a great name. That's some good names of teams today. I am going to nominate Yakubu, the Yak, who I think is a great example of a journeyman. So in England, he played for Portsmouth twice, Middlesbrough, Everton, Leicester, Blackburn, Reading, Coventry, the mighty Enfield Town. Outside of England, he played for Guangzhou, so obviously tried to get that Chinese money. Al Rayyan, I'm not too sure where they are, and Julius Berger, Gil Vicente and Maccabi Haifa. His goal scoring record for teams is fairly good, but he just didn't spend very long there. So obviously Everton for 3 years, before that Portsmouth for 2 years, Middlesbrough for 2 years, then Everton three, Leicester one, Blackburn one, Guangzhou one, Al Rayyan one, Reading less than a year. So he seems just really dot about. And again, probably with, like you said, I said with Ravel Morrison, had a bit of a reputation for being good scoring goals. I think teams just took a punt on him when they were probably struggling and wanted a striker who would come in and score goals. And from memory, it did seem to be that he did come in, used to score loads of goals for a season and a half, and then decided he didn't want to do anything else. And then that's why he was kind of shipped on. And over the last year, myself and Sean for our grassroots team have been trying to sign Yakubu. We were as close last year that we actually bought a top, a double XL top that he would have had, because we were fully expecting that he was going to turn out for us in a friendly in London. But we didn't.
Genuinely.
But we bought a new kit of 15 tops and bought one extra as a double XL.
So how?
Like, I was going to say, have you still got the kit? Because me or Sean will come and play for you.
one of the fellas who was going to play for us, boxes with him in a boxing gym in London. So big into the boxing scene, apparently, Yakubu. So, yeah, we were fully expecting that he was going to turn out for us, and we did buy him a kit. But unfortunately, later on, it wasn't possible.
I don't know if we can say we were expecting him to join us. We definitely weren't expecting him to join us.
For the bit, Sean, come on. Think of the content.
I'll click that before I speak.
No, but it was definitely on the cards that he was going to play. Later on, it wasn't possible. That would have been great. And we didn't tell anyone either.
I think being ghosted by Yakubu as a story is better than Yakubu turning up, to be honest.
It is. No, it isn't. It isn't.
Honestly, me and Callum were sat there thinking, hey, imagine how mad it'll be if Yakubu walked in. Like, even up to the day of the game, we were thinking, he might just turn up.
We hadn't told anyone, and we were like, imagine how funny it's going to be.
That would have gone viral, wouldn't it?
No, because everyone would have thought it was like, do you know that thing where you can pay to have like Neil Ruddock play at your father's side? Everyone would have thought it was that.
It would have been great, but...
you would have taken it, though.
Oh, yeah.
Had he would have had the mighty RYM on his Wikipedia...
I think you're doing him a little bit of a disservice because he was absolutely great and he would have been at Everton hopefully quite a bit longer if he hadn't done what is supposedly the worst injury you can have as a footballer in, rupturing his Achilles.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment.
He is a journeyman based on the number of clubs, but
I'm not sure it's necessarily a bad thing. I mean, it sounds bad, doesn't it? Because we'll come on to what my experience today, but it sounds bad. But there's some journeymen who've had great careers. So I don't necessarily think it comes hand in hand.
I think it was a case of they knew he was going to score goals and they needed goals, and he did, and generally he went there and scored. So he's like his goal record isn't that bad. It's almost like nearly 1 in 2, 1 in 3 from like every club he's been at. 28-67 Portsmouth, 25-73 Middlesbrough. Again, I guess these were a lot of them in the first year. 25-82 Everton, 11-20 for Leicester, 17-30 Blackburn. I think it was a case of teams needed a goal. Who can we get cheap? Get Yakubu. Possibly who can get a decent price.
He wasn't cheap at one stage, so he was like our record transfer for a bit, and I think he was for Middlesbrough as well. So it wasn't,
yeah, after it was that, only...
Yeah, the latter part of his career, maybe. Yeah, after Everton,
he didn't spend more than a year at a club.
because he didn't have an ankle.
Seven clubs in 6 years.
My only memory of Yakubu after leaving Everton was that clip of him playing for Redden where he was just stood in the centre circle for 7 minutes. That's all I really think of him though.
Wasn't he in a Venky's advert when he was at Blackburn as well? That would get that on the socials, Sean.
Was he in that?
I'm sure the chickens. He was.
Yeah, I just remember like Ryan Nelson and David Dunn.
I'm sure the Yak's in that.
Borderline racist though.
We'll see. I hope it's not Chris Samba.
I do think he fits the criteria, Cam. I think there's no argument to that, but I think what Bob's saying is also fair, whereas a lot of them other ones, I suppose the early moves, he was moving upwards, wasn't he? So he had done his time at Portsmouth, then a move up at that time to Borough, and then obviously definitely a move up to Everton, and then you thought then maybe he found that, because he was brilliant before his injury for Everton. Like, we all loved him, didn't we? And then he did that, and then remember having a bit of spell when he come back, but he certainly wasn't the same. So it might have been that his sticking point. We might have kept him, but the evidence suggests maybe not. But I think he definitely fits the criteria. Like all the clubs, as you say, playing for 1 or 2 years. Go on, Sean, what are you thinking?
Part of me doesn't agree that. I mean, he's a journeyman in the if the definition is how many clubs they've played for. But I think, I might be being a bit harsh, but I think a staple of a journeyman is that they're not like, and I'll come on to mine in a minute for this, I think, is that they're not like synonymous with any club, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Whereas like Yakubu is synonymous with quite a few clubs, as in like he is Portsmouth as well. When you think Yakubu, you think of Portsmouth. Like obviously we've had the Cultures pod when they did the Barclaysman stuff. They did the World Cup of Barclaysman, Yakubu won it. And I think
Does that make him the ultimate journeyman then? If he's every club he's played at.
Yeah, fair enough.
No, I don't think he does. No, I think a journeyman. Well,
wait until who won last week?
Tosh.
Wait till Tosh boots the Yak off, just to piss Cal off.
Well, I was going with all intentions of booting Callum off, but I don't know if I could do that to the Yak.
If he was not on the Venky's advert, so just check.
I knew.
He was there at the time, no.
Brilliant. Nice one, Bob.
Yeah,
I'm just glad it wasn't me who said it. I can't afford any more stuff like that being said. I'm going to go next because Sean's point, I reckon Sean's going to strongly disagree with mine. I don't know whether I've hit the target here, so I'm going to go next and give more Sean a bit more ammo to say he's not a journeyman. Mike Pearson, I just got on my phone and lost it. So has played for 13 clubs, including 6 by my count in the Premier League, but I think mine's a bit of a higher level of journeyman. So I'm talking a journeyman of a top tier footballer playing for clubs like PSG, Arsenal, Real Madrid, Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, Juventus, and that is Nicolas Anelka. And I think there might be some argument with that because I think he doesn't fit the usual criteria of journeyman, which is usually 1 or 2 years playing a lot of lower league stuff. Whereas Anelka at one time was probably for a good few years was genuinely brilliant, starting at Arsenal, starting when he was signed for Arsenal, really, in this country, winning the double with them, getting a massive move to Real Madrid, like unbelievable money at that time winning the European Cup, coming back to England on loan, Liverpool. I think a lot of Liverpool fans were always good, so they never signed him. Going to City, which was a bit of a peculiar one. Then Fenerbahce. I think Fenerbahce is a very journeyman sort of place. Going to Turkey, he's always good. Then back to Bolton, which again, bit of a mad one, fits into the sort of stereotypical like old footballer coming back, wins the losing the European Cup final for Chelsea. Don't think he was around when they won it in 2012. Goes and plays in China. So again, sort of end of a career journeyman. Plays for Juventus very briefly, comes back to West Brom where he was sort of got rid of in very conspicuous circumstances, did something racist, I think, didn't he? Or did some sort of symbol.
The canal gesture.
Yeah, it was something. It's like something. Yeah, we won't get into that, to be fair. Sean, one of them say something.
What was it?
I've already cancelled us.
Tosh, do it for us so we know what you're talking about.
No. And then that lastly finishing in India in 2015. So again, I'm not sure he fits the usual, but I think for me, just when I thought about people who've played for lots of clubs, there's people like I thought of, like, you know, someone like a Craig Bellamy who's played to like 6 or 7 clubs in the Prem. It's people like that. So I just thought of Anelka. I think he, a bit like Sean said, not really synonymous with anyone, I don't think people might disagree with that anyway. Played for so many clubs, was genuinely at a time brilliant, even when he came back for like Bolton and City, playing for a few like lower level Premier League clubs, was so good for them. He got bigger moves, etc. So, yeah, I don't think fits in the criteria, some might argue, but unfortunately it's my pick this week, so he's going to be in the poll. So argue as much as you want. Callum, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, I think he's a journeyman in the case that, like, he's a bit of like a disloyal journeyman, isn't he? He didn't seem to have like, any loyalty to any clubs. He was just happy to like go collect the money, go somewhere else, collect the money. He was like, he's a proper like disloyal journeyman. I suppose maybe where Yakubu, we said he went and was loved by everyone and that kind of thing. Did any fans really love him? Maybe apart from like Arsenal in his later years. I don't know if he did.
I think he was quite loved at Baltimore. Like,
But is that just because it was like, wow, we've got an Elka kind of thing? Bolton,
never had anyone high profile Bolton, to be fair, Sam. I don't know. I think it's actually a fair point. He was like famously nicknamed Le Sulk, wasn't it? The other thing I've just thought about as well, he had lots of fights in France. It felt like he was signing for the France national team every like couple of years. He like played for them for a bit, then fell out. He was part of in 2010 when they all like kicked off. He was sent home and things like that. So that another point there.
He was what I was thinking of in the conversation before about genuine not necessarily being bad. I didn't want to name him just in case anyone had him as their pick, but I think there's two types of journeymen. There's journeymen who are journeymen because they're forced out, and there's journeymen because they want to go somewhere else. And I think he falls into the latter category. He could have played anywhere, couldn't he? He was that good.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's just disloyal. Just happy to just go and go and even take the money or whatever.
Yeah,
I think that's a good shout to journeyman. I think so.
Yeah, wraps up song of the week as well.
Don't talk about it. I'll save that for the end, Bob.
Yeah, okay.
And keep your thoughts to yourself. Right then, we'll go our usual, Sean. We'll leave our guest till last, Sean.
Okay, right. So I'll just follow on from Sean's comment then about there being two types of journeyman. I think I've got a third type of journeyman who is almost someone that is trying to like claw at it so for so long, who just like bounces around teams because they're just trying to claw at staying relevant kind of thing. So my player actually holds the record for playing for the most amount of Premier League teams, with a total of 8, mixed in with a couple of Championship teams. So we have in the Premier League, we've got Ipswich, we've got the also an ex-Blue, we've got an former Everton player, Sheffield United, Charlton, Blackburn. He played for Wigan, he played for Leicester, played for Crystal Palace, mixed in with spells I didn't even know existed at Wolves, QPR, Middlesbrough. This fella just totally faded into obscurity. But he was part of the Everton team, like an iconic Everton team. The Everton team that qualified for Europe in 2004-05. The player I'm talking about is Marcus Bent, who, other than even if he didn't have the record for most teams, I think he's like typifies what a journeyman is. As in, as I said there, from you've got, I don't know, 20, 25 years of just bouncing around any team that'll have him. He actually never appeared for a team more than 70 times. So that's like, what, 2 seasons, something like that.
I'll make a note of that when we do Keeping Up Appearances. Ipswich.
I've got them all here, don't worry.
Notice he hasn't said who that was for, just in case anyone logged me.
Yeah, again, he was mentioned last week, wasn't he, in the chat about Marcus versus Darren at Ipswich. But yeah, I just think he started at Palace when he was younger.
Brentford,
then Palace, then Ipswich, and then he got the move eventually to Everton, either side of a loan spell at Leicester. And I think it's one of those where, like, at that time, I remember when we signed him, we got him for, I think it was like a 1 million or something. He was quite a fairly decent player at that time. And he's not like the type of player you think is going to fire towards the Champions League. But I always remember as well in that season, you all might disagree with me. You might have a better memory than me. I thought he was great. He was such a key part of that team, wasn't he?
Yeah, 100%.
And then, obviously, I think he left the season after. But in that time, it's one of those where you think, the year before that we'd nearly got relegated and we'd sold Rooney and then somehow ended up in the Champions League. If you're David Moyes, you're probably thinking, I can't go into the Champions League with Marcus Bent as my main striker. And I think that kind of
Is that why we got cheated out of it?
I think it was. I think Kalina said we can't let Marcus Ben go through. But yeah, I don't know. I just think that it for me. That's what the journeyman is someone whose kind of reputation precedes them. So like Yakubu, for example, or Anelka, they've generally got a good reputation. Marcus Bent, from even when he was at Everton, before he came to Everton, he had that reputation of being decent striker. Do you know what I mean? He's always going to be maybe...
That's generous, though.
Well, that's what I mean.
He did a job, but he was...
Yeah, he was very inconsistent. Like, even for Everton, I think he only scored in the 2 years or a year and a half he was there, he scored 7. But then again, we all remember him being great. So, like, but he had that reputation of, he's just a bit rubbish him. So I think that's the problem, that when you've got that already in that early in his career, it was always going to follow him. So for years, I just think he was trying to create a career for himself that was never going to happen. And he went from us, I think, to Charlton. And then, as I say, where didn't he play? For the next, like, 10, 15 years, it was just, he was everywhere.
Precision. He didn't play for precision.
He didn't. And what was yours, Cal?
Julius Berger.
Julius Berger. He definitely didn't play for them. But yeah, I just think for me, he is the definition of journeyman. And I'm a bit annoyed that he's got the record of most Premier League clubs because I feel like it's a bit of an obvious one. I wish he just maybe played for.
But I think in some way he's like an unlikely journeyman, because what all the other journeymen and even the ones named have in common so far is that you'd all fancy them not to be great trainers, whereas Marcus Bent was the opposite of that, wasn't he? You'd imagine he was like the manager's dream. I'm surprised that he's played for all these teams, because managers want to keep hold of him.
But then do they though? Because does he deliver? Do you know what I mean?
Well, he's not very good, but all I mean is like...
That's what I mean, because like in Everton it worked, because that's the kind of the way we set up. It was like, it was just, they were a team, weren't they? It was battling. Whereas if he goes to a championship team or a lower down and he need goals, he's not giving you them, is he?
Yeah.
I think as well,
that team was fun on them at that point, wasn't it?
You think like that would, I always think back to then, like, and he was brilliant in that season, Bent. And I think I just looking, Sean, I think it was less than half a million we signed him for. And like, we sold Rooney and Radzinski, and we went in, we signed Kale for like 1.5. And I always think, like, you know, do you reckon that was
he was even worse as well?
Shut up. He was like, you know, I always think, like, is that part of the plan that we were going to have this, you know, Marcus Bent and Tim Cahill, and that would work? Because, you know, Cahill probably that season scored probably 8, 9, 10 goals as well. You know, we finished fourth, didn't we? With, like, you know, probably playing 4-5-1 for the first time. And we just seemed to score, we just seemed to win 1-0 every week when the games we won. We were on a run, we were just winning 1-0. But he just worked. And, like, the way, like, there's always discussion with Evan about people, you know, working hard. And, like, there's always the discussion with, like, Calvert-Lewin Siemens standing there. But I'd like to think that, like, if Bent and Strack were here, see if they came back to Goodison, they'd get, like, an unbelievable reception of everyone just because of how hard he actually worked. Which I think makes Sean's point quite good about the idea of, you know, he's not like an elder, is he? Will go and fight with someone, like, as you say, probably managers loved having him just run around. That's what he seemed to do. Didn't he just run around like a headless chicken, like, run the channels and stuff like that? And I think we signed Beattie in that January, and that was sort of probably the beginning of the end for him, really, wasn't it? But I think very good suggestion. Also, did he get arrested for something?
Yeah, he did. Possession of Class A drugs. We've all
did
been
he?
There.
After his playing time or Jordan?
I think it was Jordan.
Before his Everton debut.
Towards the end, wasn't it? Yeah.
Didn't he play with did he play with a tag?
Racist.
I'd say what I was going to say. If that's all false as well, we are going to get some racist allegations.
I'm sure Ben was one of the players who played with the tag, I think.
Was he, yeah?
I think I do remember him getting charged with something. I'm sure he might have played with the tag.
Fair play. Well, if we were wrong, we apologise, Marcus, if you listen. We all do love you, though, so.
Yeah.
A good shout, I think. Any other last thoughts on Marcus Bent? Sets us up then, and I'm the only one who knows who Sean is picking, our guest. But I'm actually not going to say anymore. I'm going to let Sean tell the story as the great orator he is. So, Sean, take over.
Oh, why would you build me up like that? Well, it's probably led him well, I think, that, because this fella's also had problems with the law. I didn't know about the problems with the law until I went back and listened to his Under the Cosh interview today. But I list his names of clubs. It's someone that I didn't immediately think of to pick, and I doubt you would either. But after looking at the teams that he's played for, he's almost the obvious choice. He played for 15 teams and retire from the top level at the age of 30, which isn't even mathematically possible, if I don't think. So a list of teams, buzz in if you know who it is. So he started off at Chelsea in the academy. He was supposed to be ahead of Carlton Cole at that time and left to get first team football at Queen's Park Rangers. He spent a year at Queen's Park Rangers, then went on loan to Huddersfield Town. Then he went on loan to Sheffield Wednesday, and then he went on loan to Brighton and Hove Albion. He then signed permanently for Brighton and Hove Albion. Go on, Sean.
I think I went for it. Is it Leon Knight?
It is Leon Knight. He's a player it's weird because I only had fleeting memories of him really from playing at Swansea with Lee Trundle and that type of era. Because I found out today that he played 25 games for Swansea and scored 20 goals, which is just incredible, really. I didn't think he had that type of ability, but he clearly did. But yeah, I think he's one of the ones that falls into the category of journeyman, but through not his choice. I think if you'd asked him, he'd say it was his choice.
We have the real reason you picked him now then, Sean, please.
So the real reason I picked him, because I'll be brutally honest, my backup, my first choice was Wes Houlihan. Although he spent 10 years at Norwich, I just wanted to name, by the way, he's still playing now at age 42, Wes Houlihan. But the main reason I wanted to pick Wes Houlihan is because I think Bob picked him for a Maroon 5 a few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago.
He was best Irishman.
Yeah, and he was so hard done by. I think he is criminally underrated, Wes Houlihan. And I just wanted to bring his name up and just set the record straight on Wes Houlihan. He was a great, the Irish Messi, I thought he was.
Yeah, he was called Wesy.
Yeah. But, so I was heading into this with all my facts lined up for Wes Houlihan. And the world seems to throw me a curveball because, as Tosh will know, you might not. I just fit Castle Lechemeester, so I go around people's houses. I'll probably go to 30 houses a week. And my first job was around the corner from my house. And the last person I expected to be in the house was Leon Knight. So he opens the door and Leon Knight answers. And I'm just literally looking around like, the chances of one meeting Leon Knight because he's a cockney. What's he doing here?
I was wondering, why? Do he live around here? Yeah.
Yeah, literally around the corner from me. Go ahead, Cal.
I was going to say, he lives around ours. He goes to our gym.
Does he? I probably know that if I went to gym.
Yeah, I was speaking to him at Home and Bargain two days ago.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Always got to steal the thunder. Haven't
yeah, suddenly not as exciting,
so
really.
So he's round here, but go on, Sean. I'm excited to hear your next.
No, bit. I just the chances of being one invited onto the pod, two the subject being journeyman, and then three my first job on the morning before the podcast is Leon Knight's house was just insane to me. So he is my obvious pick.
I don't think I'd recognise him, even if I did walk into his house.
Oh, no, did
he have merch all over the place? Like,
probably.
Yeah. What I know of his notoriety, really, is pretty much his Twitter activity after he played football. But after listening to his Under the Cosh this morning, because it was Under the Cosh from years ago, he was done for firearms offences when he was playing for Swansea. He was sacked by Russians and Diamonds later on in his career. And because it was such terrible circumstances that he was sacked from, he didn't go to training for 5 months. He was deducted 5 months' pay. He was banned from signing for any team for a 4-year period after Russian Diamonds. So he went to Greece for someone called Pristavolus Fissilis, which sounds like a fruit in the Waitrose aisle.
Sounds like an STD.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he signed for Hampton Academical, Queen of the South, Coleraine, and Glentoran before signing for Barnes and semi-pro when he was later on, but. I didn't know he played for that many teams, but what I was most shocked by was how good he was at all of them. So he played his most for Brighton for 3 years and apparently fell out with the manager there, which it sounded like he fell out with every single manager. But that's when he signed for Swansea. And although he scored 20 goals in 25 games, he still never got that step up. So, yeah, you could say he clinged on to his career or he got pushed out of every club that he'd been in, but I was just more shocked that I saw him, so that's why I've picked him.
And didn't you also tell him he was going to be picked for a journeyman? So I'm sure he's delighted with you at 9 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, because bear in mind, first thing in the morning, I'm starving on my morning coffee yet. So first thing I did was tell him what the podcast was. I'm shocked. I'm surprised that I've seen him.
Starstruck.
Yeah, and first of all, trying to describe something Maroon 5 did is professional football player. He was looking at me like I was honestly absolutely crazy. But I did also manage to get a sales pitch from Leo, which I've managed to send to Tosh this morning.
Do you want me to play it now?
Yeah, far away.
I'll try and play through here. If not, Sean will add it into the podcast, I would have thought, wouldn't you?
Yeah, go on.
Hello, lads. It's Leon Knight here. Get me on the island, boys.
So that was, although that was short, that was so much harder than you think it was. So bear in mind,
I can imagine, Sean.
I've just finished a job in his house, and I bear in mind, I'm not even thinking about what this sense of this question sounds like. I said to him, do me a favour, give us a voice note, and just said, get me on the island, boys. I then immediately realised that I'm sounding like I'm trying to settle up with some Epstein quote. So then I've had to go into overdrive with the explanation of Maroon 5 to explain which island he'll be going on to. I still don't think he fully understood, but I think he just wants this weird scout just to get out of his house and did it for me.
That's so good.
That's great. Well done, Sean.
Do you know, this is, I mean, obviously you do have to distance yourself in a way because of, yeah, he's had a bit of an unsavoury career.
Yeah.
But I've always had an affinity with Brighton because on FIFA 2004, when they were in the Championship, I used to play with them all the time. And Leon Knight, genuinely on that game, was insane.
Yeah.
Honestly, top scorer every season I played with him. He was boss. So I've always kind of loved Leon Knight. But then when I grew up and realised things aren't as rosy as they were on FIFA 2004... It's hard to take. Do you know what I mean?
Can I just say he was a lovely man? He was a lovely man, yeah.
Oh, that's good.
I think that's
just in case he's listening though.
That's the best.
He won't be.
That's the best Maroon 5 ever, I reckon.
Honestly.
Was the first one to ever get there. There's certainly got to be the first person who's ever got there and guessed to sort of say something, hasn't it? That's like, I mean, Callum was in the thing that shows Callum's commitment because Sean's not even on the podcast and within on his first appearance has got some to be. Callum met him last week and didn't think of it. So
Callum was too busy plugging his running page. Loser.
Can't ask Leon Knight to get on the island in the middle of Home and Bargain.
What was he buying? Was he getting Golden Wonders in? That's what I'd be getting if I was in there.
Coca Noodles.
Oh, sorry, could be good sponsorship here, though. If Coca Noodles are listening.
I was going to say, Home and Bargain just shelled out quite a bit of money today, I think, haven't they? So,
to be fair,
almost as big a contribution as Cal.
Nearly. Not quite as much, Bob, but nearly.
I think it's a great suggestion.
It's a great suggestion and a great end to the nominations, I think, Sean.
I was just going to ask Sean, do you reckon you sold it well enough that he'd come on?
Oh, right. I was honestly surprised that he said yes to doing the voice note, so I very much doubt it. The way I described it was horrific. I just said to him, can you leave the voice note saying being on the island? And if you know his Twitter past, he's very much likely to be targeted by someone trying to get him on FC the Island. So it was, I think I messed that up, boys.
Is he still on Twitter?
No, I tried to find him. I don't think he is.
Can I get a retweet, Sean, as well?
I know. That's
Nicholas and Elkin, he's his gas meter fitting, and then we'll be laughing. That's the case, then we've got a thing. Right then, we'll wrap up there. We have our five suggestions, and I have got the privilege of booting one off. I'm obviously not going to get rid of my own. There is absolutely no way I'd be kicked off the pod forever if I got rid of Sean's Leon Knight. That just can't. If you get the voice note, you're in. So I'm picking two from three. Ravel Morrison, Yakubu, and Marcus Bent. It's a tough one this week.
Should I just boot myself off?
No, I want to pick because actually, Bob, I've got grievances with Sean and Callum because I feel they got rid of me a few times and my FA Cup team was better than Callum's listening back. So, Bob, you've done me no harm at the recently. I'm going to keep Marcus Bent though because I think that was Sean made a good pitch for that. I think that was a good pitch, which leaves me the Yak and Ravel Morrison. It's a tough one. I think they both fit the criteria, so it's hard to pick. I think it's just there. Do you know what? I'm going to get rid of Yakubu. The reason being, because of our eyes for Evan, he was very good. So I'm going to get rid of that. I'm not saying he wasn't a journeyman. I think he did fit the criteria, but I think because he was playing for Prestige or Precision, Ravel Morrison takes it, whatever they were called. So our four suggestions this week, Ravel Morrison, Leon Knight, Marcus Bent, and Nicholas Anelka. So, as always, the poll will go on Twitter. If you can get yourself over and vote, please retweet it so we can get as many votes as possible and we can go and see who joins the Divine Ponytail, the rest of the lads with Jason Kumas. How many clubs did Jason Kumas play for? Could he have been a contender? Did he play for a lot? Not in my memory, but maybe towards the end of his career. But yeah, if you're listening, Leon, thank you for your involvement. And I hope the gas meter's working well.
Ooh.
Sure.
I'm not sure about that, to be honest. That's the dodgy bit of the podcast.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to anyone else's, any other famous people's houses, Sean?
Zap night.
You've ever been to? I've been to a few. Jamie Carragher's, he wasn't in though. It was his missus that was in.
Did you do a falsie?
No.
You should have.
Yeah, just not worth going to jail over, is it? Just as
it would be.
And once again, it will be a great story for the pod when you come out. So.
And a great story for jail. What are you in for? I blew up Jamie Carragher.
He did spit in a story kid, in the news so about Carragher's house.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's quite fair, but yeah.
Yeah. Right then, we will leave it there and we'll go to Sean to find our game of the week.
Right, so thanks, Tosh. Let's get the names in the wheel then. So, obviously, guest privileges this week for Sean. He gets to choose all of our games. So, yeah, Sean, you can pick three games. It can be three from the Premier League, or you can throw a little cheeky championship in. Totally up to you. Right, what are you going to go for?
Well, I think I know I've got to put one champion. No, I can't. I was going to put Swansea in, but to play in Oxford United. So I'm not doing that. But I will put Brighton in for Leon. So we'll go Brighton versus Liverpool. Newcastle Arsenal. And then we'll go for a tougher one. We'll go for Middlesbrough Coventry.
Right, let's spin the wheel then and see which teams we are playing with this week. And it is, do you know what? It's only fitting. In honour of Leon Knight, it's Brighton against Liverpool.
Of course it is.
I don't suppose you know how many times you play for Brighton, do you, Sean?
Roughly.
Wow. Oh, he probably wouldn't have looked at transfer markets, would he?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Is it at Liverpool?
Yeah, we're away.
Yeah. Did you put it as Brighton-Liverpool in the fixture wheel or Liverpool-Brighton, Sean?
I put it Brighton the bill because that's what Sean said.
Well, I'll put it back in and get a new one, I'd say.
Prove it.
You know what? First time, I'll let him off. He's already contributed more to content than you for having Ian and a half, so.
I'll also never put Liverpool first in any sentence ever, so. No. That's my excuse.
You'll fit in with these, Sean.
No one had, just out of interest, no one had 4-3 Brentford for Ipswich, Brentford Ipswich last week.
I did.
You had 6-0 Ipswich, which... Yeah, so...
Yeah. Ish. At least they got a mad score in.
It was a great game, that as well.
Yeah, moral victory, if anything.
Yeah. Right, anyone want to predict the Liverpool game?
I've just seen Dunk. It's Dunk out as well. I swear that like every week, that's the main fellas are missing for the team they're playing. No Saliba the other day. Chelsea were missing a couple of weeks before.
Do you know what really annoyed me about the shite the other day? Van Dijk came out and said, what kind of injury crisis are you talking about? They only had two out, as if the Echo didn't have a full-on book of condolence when Van Dijk hurt his knee. Prick. Oh, my God.
I swear we mentioned Van Dijk and Pickford every week. Like, honestly, he managed to swear it in it.
Well, everybody else does.
Hey, sure. Thanks for picking Liverpool, Sean.
It
always puts Bob in a good mood.
I'd actually made a note to that to bring that up because that really annoyed me, that interview. And it was the kind of thing where people saying, oh, isn't this class from Van Dijk? And just, no, it isn't. He's an absolute bell end.
The reporter bottled himself as well, didn't he?
Exactly, yeah.
The reporter said it as if, like, you know, Arsenal's injury crisis and Van Dijk went, they haven't really got any meant. Yeah, I don't know, yeah. And Liverpool have had some injuries as well. The reporter completely backtracked. Yeah, I'm in camp Bob for that one. I also think
nice one, Cal.
Maybe should have even been sent off. Yeah, Van Dijk.
Not for that stuff with Havertz now.
Gets out of him twice.
You get sent off for that though. That's a joke. They both kick each other. That's you can't say that. I don't think
he was absolutely terrible for their first goal though.
He done his little usual jog,
pretending to defend thing. Yeah,
that he does.
Yeah.
But the more controversial one was that the one where the referee blows at the maddest time for that disallowed goal. After the first foul, does he? And then
definitely not a foul either. I don't think.
The first one I could see, you could see that given, but he just blow after that one.
It was Liverpool. It was not a foul.
I'll tell you what was the outrageous, isn't it? Completely off topic. That West Ham penalty, it was outrageous. And again, not enough is made of that because Ten Hag got the sack on the back of that.
He didn't, though.
He did, though, because he wouldn't have been sacked this week. He wouldn't have been sacked.
He was getting sacked, wasn't he?
Well, he probably was, but again, you never know. Football can turn, and I watched bits of that game. I was watching that yesterday, and United should have won that by about 5 goals. It's not his fault. But again, like Dave, that decision, that no one watched that on the replay and thought that's a penalty. And again, they've just made him do that. Again, just does my head in that. And then you get all these people like, oh, yeah, you know, you can see where it's given. It's not the point. It shouldn't have been overturned. And he wouldn't have sacked, and you never know. They might win the next few games and eat the back in.
Yeah. See, I actually do think it was a penalty, but it's nowhere near that. Well, this season it's meant to be
a
higher bar, and it was nowhere near that, was it?
But the thing that does me head, didn't he say this with the high bar? And again, you know, that's sort of what we sort of were saying. We don't want them overturning everything. But then they just changed their minds with that. Like, you know, like we see, like, you know, with Everton first game against Brighton, you know, like that Calvert-Lewin one that was overturned. Oh, yeah, you know, but you can see why, well, actually, if it's a high bar and it's not going to overturn, it's just he changed the mind every week and you just tell us. And like, you get Howard Webb saying, oh, yeah, we've made 2 wrong VAR calls.
What was overturned for DCL? Can't remember that.
One first game of the season, it was very similar to the one that we could have had against Newcastle. And again, I actually don't think that was a pen, but it was a similar sort of thing where he gets his leg and Dunk, I think, takes his leg.
Mm.
We were given a pen, it was overturned. And there's something else that was overturned as well. But yeah, that was a complete sidetrack because we weren't talking about them. So Liverpool, Brighton, any predictions? Bob?
1-1.
Ooh. Sean?
Which one?
You.
I'll go 2-0 Liverpool.
Well,
sure. I actually think rather optimistically that Brighton are the type of team that Liverpool will struggle against. So I'm going to go 0-0.
Callum?
I'll go 2-1 Brighton. Why not?
Love it.
4-0 Liverpool. Did you see that one as well? Did you see Brighton's, the one where they were 4-on-1 in the last minute against Wolves? Did you see that? The Wolves' last goal.
Tommy Doyle, instant legend.
Unbelievable. That lad who plays that pass, the only place he can play that, and that gets intercepted. So
unbelievable.
Yeah. Right then, let's get our magic number, please, Sean.
Right. So, you know the score by now. Our parameters are 50 and 450. Okay. Now, Bob's going to love this one. Don't know if you can see it, but it's the number 69. So we're going for 69 for either Brighton or Liverpool.
No current, are we saying?
Yeah, that's no current in it. 100-100.
Might as well leave now, Cal.
Do we actually listen to the music here? It's gonna be the first week I'm not gonna listen to the junior.
You can. You've got your headphones on. You might as well.
Yeah, we do need the tune, actually. What are we thinking? Who's a musical journeyman? What was the one you said you had an idea before, Bob, didn't you?
Oh, shit. I've forgotten about it. Who were we talking about before?
Anelka.
Great.
These hoes ain't loyal.
That was really what you came up with.
Yeah. It was either going to be that or...
I'm going to have to veto that one, Bob.
Or The Long and Winding Road by Gareth Gates and Will Young.
Why?
Long and Winding Road, like...
I thought it was linked to Linky, but Watergate? Gareth Watergate?
Yeah.
How do you define a genuine musician?
Well, I'm thinking anyone who's been in 2 or 3 bands, aren't we? Some 2 people that came into my head. We used the Jimmy Somerville. He was in...
Brodsky Beat.
And what was he not in the other one? Communard. And what was their big hit?
Never Can Say Goodbye.
No, there's another one, isn't there? Is there another one?
The Communards or yeah. Bronski Beat?
Well, Communards was what I was thinking. I knew he was in Bronski Beat. But he's not a great one, is it? Let's see if...
I another one. I've got loads of like memories from when I was a kid. As I said, Lovely On Night. Someone did Jimmy Somerville on Stars in Their Eyes when I was a kid. And I had a little obsession with him. My mum went out and bought me loads of cassette tapes of it, of the Communards. Honestly, do you know, every week something comes up in here, I realise I was and am the biggest loser in the world.
Sean, you went to the wrestling last week. We do know that.
I know.
But don't leave me this way.
Don't leave me this way. That's a good one, yeah.
And then, is it surely there's someone else who's been in a few bands?
Can we not? What are we saying? Something, Journey? We could have Journey.
I know, yeah, but I could only think of one song.
Oh, could we have Journey South? Anyone remember them off X Factor?
Yeah, too good then. Were they brothers or just mates?
No, two Scottish brothers. I think they came third, didn't they?
Is that the first one, yeah?
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Yeah, and Tabby and Steve Brooks.
Because he is the biggest gimp ever.
Yeah, Tabby, yeah, Sean, I've already established 2 minutes ago.
Knowledge, but
Tabby was great.
Yeah, 1,000 miles by Vanessa Carlton.
You're just doing on the journey, the tenuous link that we had for this. That's not the route we need to be on, Dan.
Just so you know, Tosh, he came third behind Shane Warne and Andy Abraham. It wasn't the first year.
I was going to say, was
what
it Andy Abraham?
What the fuck has happened, do you?
Andy, I used to love Andy Abraham.
He was burnt, and he was in Eurovision as well.
Eurovision, yeah. Oh, can we just do Andy Abraham instead?
Even If by Andy, was that his best song?
Yeah, yeah.
Even Eurovision.
We Are One by Same Difference.
Same Difference, the brother and sister, is that the... Look at me chipping in.
I know, yeah.
Bob, it's just what have you got to, like, just a road or something?
No.
Equality Street.
Leave Right Now by Will Young, because you got X Factor pop idol in there as well.
And that's what he said to Sean to get out of his house when he kept asking him for voice notes.
And James McFadden link as well.
Yeah. Do you know what? Yeah, who played with Marcus Bent?
Leon Knight both for Gareth Gates, so I think it has to be.
And Listen to Your Game, if you're on that one as well, if you're in the Will Young. Yeah. Absolutely fantastic song there.
Listen what to talent. What?
Your Game.
Oh, Game.
You're talking Liverpool, one and a half seasons, aren't you?
Yeah.
See, the way you did it is mad to me. You go like, oh, that's probably 4.5 seasons, but with these injuries, it was like an algorithm. I just go on vibes. I just go like 6-9, I'll be like that.
I go on vibes. It doesn't go well.
Fun though, innit? I'm always miles off, but it's fun.
Yeah. This is why the problem is, obviously, because Bob's very good at it and Callum cheats. It makes people who are listening, it makes them feel stupid because they're so close. Most people are like me.
Oh, I'm horrific.
Is anyone going to try and do Brighton?
New.
I've got 2 Brighton ones.
I've got a couple of Liverpool. I'd be surprised if anyone said either of them.
So you've got 2 Brighton who aren't current, Cal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
I know.
Very recently not current. Even in a number like that, he can't pick someone who hasn't played for 6 months or something, honestly. This is the point of the podcast, Callum.
But people love nostalgia. That's why I throw random names out from the noughties.
Literally, it's usually the first one that comes to my head in a bracket of about 100 either way.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what I do. Sometimes I get one and I go, that could be good, but it's not as fun.
But what I always do is imagine it was good. And you just plucked that from thin air. And the satisfaction of getting them close is seconds and on, surely.
Right, perfect. Let's make a start then. Go on, Sean, do you want to go first so you don't get yours nicked?
Yeah, so I had one for a while. Picked the backup just in case I wasn't first, but because I am, I'll go for the one that I just picked. As soon as you said the number, he came into my head and I couldn't think of anyone else. It's the biggest Sean pick ever, the other Sean that is, because I have absolutely no idea how many games he would have played. He was probably there way longer than necessary, but I get the impression he didn't make as many games. So my logic is that it could loosely be close. My guess is Lawrence Finnemapongo.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
That's like the perfect guest for this podcast. That's what we need, Callum.
That is a great guest, Sean.
We need that.
Well, you say that, Sean. If you'd have said John Stones and Edison, you'd have made him the winner last week. So you pick and choose when you like that.
Do you ever stop crying?
I listened to Ash Fuming last week and I listened to it. Outrageous.
I'm not getting into it, but it was best team.
But shouldn't have been. Don't pick FA Cup, then just pick best team ever. Just say pick your best five-a-side team. And next time we're doing it. I mean, it's your call, Sean, but you shouldn't be able to pick one from the same team. I was thinking about that.
Well, that's a good point. That's a bit of constructive criticism. I'll take that on board.
So do I win then for last week? Or
no.
I think he should.
Thanks, Paul.
Anytime.
I'll go next.
Go on, Tosh.
I'm still torn between two. I was trying to think, like two, but you know, might in play. So I've got a couple. I've actually just changed my mind last minute. The first one I was thinking, I don't think anyone's going to say, so I'm going to say it, was Kyriakos. Remember that Greek centre-back? He seemed to be around for a while, but was never obviously first choice. That's what makes me think he was low. I remember our mate Mitchell, I'm sure he'll be on the pod soon, he absolutely loved him. I'm going to go for someone who I know was only there for about 2 years. And I think he was mentioned a couple of weeks ago, but I can't remember why. But around about 2005, I remember him scoring against Everton. Fernando Morientes, double European Cup winner for Real Madrid. And I think the time fits in my head. But again, very injury prone, so maybe didn't quite make that. He might be like less than 50, but I don't think he's going to be more than that. I'd be very surprised anyway. But yeah, Morientes. I'll start checking them.
I
think I would get less. I think he'd be lower
than anything. I don't know, 69 feels really low.
But it's almost two full seasons back then as well, isn't it? It's slightly less games.
Yeah.
So yeah.
How many seasons do you reckon he was there? Because did he join in January? So my thing was he joined in January and maybe he did the whole of the next one. That was my sort of.
I would guess 18 months, 2 years.
Which could be enough, but maybe not. He joined in the year he won the Champions League, but I don't think he was eligible to play in it. Because he scored the year we finished fourth, going back to Marcus Bent. They beat us at Anfield in about the March. And he scored in that, I think. Probably why he didn't actually score that many goals for them. But anyway, we digress. Who's next, Sean?
Go on, we'll let Callum go.
Cool. I went with two Brighton players who...
You only get one, Cal.
I thought of two Brighton players who recently left. The one I'm going to go for, I always thought he was very, very, very good for Brighton, and I can't believe they kind of let him go. I think he's on loan. Does that still count as not current?
Depends how close it is.
Yeah. Are we okay with on loan? Okay. I'm going to go with someone who's performing very well for his new club in the Premier League, so it surprised me even more that Brighton can't let him go. I'm going to Buonanotte for Leicester. I think he will be. I think he will be. I think he was there for probably a couple of seasons.
And I have no idea how to spell that.
Came on as a sub a lot as well the past few seasons.
I think he's. I think he'll be. He definitely won't be over. I'm just hoping he's close enough. As less, yeah, but yeah. Buonanotte is my shout.
I actually think you're pushing the boundaries there. To be honest with the still playing, but yeah.
Well, he's not going to be able to move up, change his appearances, is he, at the moment? So,
no, but the reason behind the not current is because it's easier to pick someone below because it's in
recent memory. Someone who was playing last season for them.
Yeah, that's the point of the rule.
Well, do you want me to pick the other one?
No, I've just checked. You're all right with them.
I personally respect the loophole he's found. Fuck the system, Cal.
I respect it, yeah. You can keep it, Callum, yeah.
Right. Bob, can I check when yours is? What's your era? Just in case I'm going to get mine stolen.
What?
You know what? I'll just go.
Yeah, go on.
Right.
But if you pinch mine, because I think you might have a slight link to this person thinking of, but carry on.
So I'm going to go with someone that we've all got a link to. Obviously, with the four of us all going to the same school, and Sean, our guest, also being in our school, I've gone with someone that was in our year who I don't know how long they were at Liverpool, but I don't imagine it was much more than that. I also think, in a nice twist, had he not retired very early, I think he would have very much applied to being a journeyman, because he was definitely on that trajectory, wasn't he?
Definitely.
So, yeah, I'm going to go with John Flanagan.
Yes, Bob. Just to add to the link, he once tried to put me in a bin in school, so that's a good one to stick in.
I also reckon that someone's shown you'd probably have a decent chance of getting a voice note off him if you'd have picked him as well, wouldn't you?
Me?
No, obviously not you.
Well, yeah, no, maybe through someone else, possibly.
Yeah.
I actually think he was better at odds than he was at football, so I suppose that's saying something. But he was very good at odds.
I'd be surprised if he'd made 50 for Liverpool, but I could be wrong. And I have been plenty of time.
I don't know.
So, yeah, I suppose, though, again, playing all, like, he had the spell, didn't he? But even once he was out the team, probably playing in Europe and that. So, yeah, I think I'd be a million miles away.
And he got a stiffy when he scored as well, didn't he?
And Mitchell crashed his car on the back of him. He was going to start his game. Mitchell drove back too fast and put his car in a hedge. So,
I love how we're building up the character of Mitchell before he comes on.
That's what it'd be the last week for Sean. Didn't give him plenty of mentions, and then
I'm now on my third guess, so I'm going to go for someone maybe slightly closer to Flanny Alves in an era, possibly the most sunburned footballer ever, Jay Spearing.
Is he technically signed on as a current player, would be my argument.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, no, could under-23s wouldn't count, would it?
No, I don't know. Is he not technically registered with Liverpool Football Club? Like, once again, let me just check.
But if you would...
Have him.
Thank you.
Also, Bob, you're in half a mood today.
Yep.
Jesus.
Good option.
Too many mentions of Liverpool on the podcast, isn't it?
He was in a mood with me before this podcast for some reason. Should continue this.
Right then, I've got the results in. Just checking the math. Right then, so all guesses within 20 this week, so all decent guesses. In fifth place and getting 0 points this week with 50 appearances is Buonanotte. So Callum, trying to contravene the rules, and you got punished for it there, I'm afraid.
Yeah, that's just so a stat.
That is just a stat.
Happens.
And yeah, so I've been a very rare occasion when the guest, it's usually Sean who ends up with no points, isn't it? So
yeah, I'm delighted right now. I can't wait to get me 1 point.
Don't get too excited because you're about to get a mention. Getting 1 point with 51 appearances, so 18 out was John Flanagan. That was more than I thought he'd probably had, to be fair. So we've then got similar sort of guess. 14 out with 55 was Jay Spearing. So that leaves the final two, me and Sean, both single figures. One is 8 out, one is 4 out. One has made 61 appearances, one has made 65. With 61 appearances, Fernando Morientes, which means that was Cinema Pongol, 65. Sean, as a guest, wins this week's one.
Get in there.
Sean, you've got a big problem on the table now.
I have got a very big problem.
The relief is huge.
I think Sean should get bonus points for the league table because he won M5 as well.
Yeah, and you won Linky, so you can decide that.
Let's end this podcast ASAP with a look at the updated league table. So, with an inspired guess of Florentino Marpongol, which is kind of what the foundation of this podcast, so I made up with that one. Sean has put the guess now onto 12. So they are very much catching up to Sean, as in me, who is in fourth place on 17. In third place on 22 is Callum. In second place on 32 is Tosh. And Bob staying strong in top on 38 points. Right, thanks for another good episode there, lads. We had a great guest appearance from Sean, not only bringing stories, bringing voice notes, he also brought the win in keeping up appearances. So as far as guest appearances go, that is I'd say that's top draw there. We haven't had many to bring that kind of content. It was nice of Callum to eventually join us. Hopefully next week we can get a full episode out of him if he can be bothered. And it was another victory for me in Linky, which is kind of becoming custom now. I don't know if, without getting too big-headed, I don't know if I should be, I should take a bit of a seat on the sidelines next time. Tosh, it's not fair, this. But
I
I'll
think,
take
I think it Tosh, makes you feel
Tosh
better.
Did,
I think
Tosh did say
you,
I won.
I think you would, Tosh. I think 1 week we need to do it where I or someone else does Linkies.
I do enjoy writing them.
I'm rubbish at it, so I'll write them.
Imagine how bad the ones you write are going to be.
I also think Bob, you off, still Sean. Don't understand it, so I don't know whether you should be doing it.
I do.
You did get one right this week, to be fair.
Exactly, and no one else did, so
you got two
said
right,
I
actually,
won
yeah.
Linky.
Okay, we'll plan that in for the future, Tosh. Yeah. So anyway, another great episode. As always, we say, please share if you can. Tell any friends if you've got them. Tell family members, share it on your socials. Just kind of get us a bit of support if you can, because we really want to make a success of it. So if you can help us out, that would be great. Until then, see you next week, where we'll have hopefully a few more decent games and another interesting topic for you. See you then.
I'd like this recurring nightmare of being on like tip. This is like going back years, by the way. I've been on like Tipping Point and being absolutely horrific. I think it was Tipping Point because like it's the easiest game show. So I was just like, I was fully expecting this to be the reality version of my Tipping Point nightmare. So I'm happy that it wasn't.
I think you're bigging us up a little bit too much there. Prime time ITV.
Yeah, Tosh was the better looking Ben Shepherd.
I'll take that.